And from the sound of that music, you know what time it is. It's Faith and Sport time on the Carolina Catholic Radio Network, 1270 AM. We're also streaming at carolinacatholicmedia.org and on the Carolina Catholic Media mobile app. I'm Chris, the producer of Faith and Sport, coming to you with a brand new show. And you are host for Faith and Sport today. You know him as the one, the only, the incomparable Dr. John Aquaviva, live in studio.
The crowd always shows up. That's the fantastic thing. Folks, welcome to the show, wherever, whenever, however you're joining us. I'm Dr. John Aquaviva. I am a teacher of exercise physiology right over there at Wingate University, but every couple weeks I come in here to the studio and do this crazy thing called Faith and Sport. Thank you so much for joining us, Radio Maria Land, Carolina Catholic Radio, all that stuff. I shouldn't say all that stuff. That's exactly what that stuff is. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to talk today's sports topics, including our Hit and Miss with Ed Billick. Our special guest today in the second half of the show is Dr. Chad Carlson. He's an associate professor of kinesiology at Hope College, Michigander himself, like me. He's the co-host of the podcast Sport Faith Life. You probably heard that before, and I'll tell you guys exactly why that sounds familiar to you. And we're going to do the quick Q&A with Dr. A, but first let's say hello to our special, the co-host of this show, Ed Bell. How you doing, brother?
From time to time, yes, right in here. That's with Chris, right? Pressler and Dr. Aquaviva, and it's always a pleasure to be with you guys. A high-quality radio production of Carolina Catholic Media.
That's
and
right.
Radio Maria.
That's right. Brother, you had a special trip. Before we get started on the show, I want to, improve the monetary standing of the country of Scotland. And you just tell everybody why I'm mentioning Scotland and why that was such a good time.
We just spent the last 2 weeks of our life touring that wonderful country. And it was during the week before the king's coronation, which is not a big deal here in the United States, but they love their king. I also brought back a bulletin from a Catholic church in Doon, near the old castle of Doon, and I'm holding it right now. And it's St. Fillan and St. Joseph's Parish. And as I went to Catholic Mass that Sunday, I got there about 20 minutes early, and the people embraced me like I was one of them.
I love it.
I wanted to know if they need a lector. They said, well, won't be able to stand without talking Scottish. Now, John, you can give us a little Scottish. Can you do the Our Father in Scotland?
I tell you what, I'll keep people on the edge of their seat, and I'll do that a little later. And, brother, the thing that surprised me most on our drive here, we have about a half hour to get to the studio together, and we always catch up, and it was great catching up because, in particular, I asked you a bunch of questions about this trip to Scotland, but you actually stayed in actual castles.
Yes.
And one of them was haunted.
There were three castles. One, the Barkindale, was just gorgeous, and we all had our own rooms. Have you ever slept in a bed with the big pillars going up and there's a canopy over the bed?
No, that'd be for rich people like you.
Okay, then you go down into the dining hall, Chris, and there's a picture of this guy who apparently was murdered in his place in the 1400s, but I hear he's looking for his murderer, so they say
right?
Some of the rooms are haunted. But we had a wonderful Scottish breakfast.
There you go.
Have you ever had haggis?
Haggis, no. It's a lamb of some sort.
Yes,
right?
You got that
correct.
Is that
true?
It's sheep's intestines. Oh. I had a haggis sandwich, was really good, and when I was done, I went, meh.
Yeah,
man,
Chris,
no,
we'll have to
stupid.
Edit that part out about eating sheep's intestines.
Yeah.
Folks, welcome to Faith and Sport. We're so glad you joined us today. This is where we apply our faith to all aspects of sports. So whether you're a coach, an athlete, a parent, a grandparent of an athlete, a referee, whatever the case is, this is the show for you, because what we're going to do is it's a sports show. It's a regular sports show. We talk about sports in and out, but we weave into it character, ethics, and morality. I'm going to read you a story, brother, before we do our hit or miss. You ready for this?
Let's do it.
The title of this article is Father Starting to Worry Church Could Interfere with His Kids' Travel Ball Schedule. Father Starting to Worry that Church is going to Interfere with His Kids' Travel Ball
Schedule.
Usually
the other way around, isn't it?
The Taylor family had attended church faithfully for the past decade, up until 6 months ago when their son Sammy received the groundbreaking invite to play catcher for a second-tier 12-year-old and under baseball team. The father said, "It's such a huge deal, we just couldn't say no. Sammy has progressed so well, and the coach said next year he could be the backup catcher for the first-tier 12-year-old league." With the high cost of club baseball, the Taylor family has also reported taking out a reverse mortgage on their home to pay for the travel. This is a joke, folks.
Right, thank you.
I know, it says at publishing time, the Taylor family had decided to pull Sammy out of school to better focus on baseball. By the way, on the right-hand column of this Babylon Bee, this...
I've heard of the Babylon
Bee. Jokester newspaper. Yeah. It says, Joe Biden heads to beach house to recuperate after grueling five-hour work week. Come on, bro. That was pretty good. Yeah. This Taylor family, at the time of this publishing this article, decided to pull Sammy out of school to better focus on baseball. Brother, we always start with a hit or miss, or we do it right in the beginning of the program. Let's do that as always. Hit or miss, something good, bad, positive, or negative in the world of sport. As always, you go first. Brother, what's your
Well, I tell you what, yesterday at the ATT Invitational down there in Texas, Jason Day, who won the Wells Fargo Championship here in Charlotte 5 years ago.
Were you there, by the way? That was one
of
the
years
you
were there? Yes, I was there, and I was working the media center. Man, when he came in, everyone cheering and everything, and I got to shake his hand. So I became a fan. But I became a fan because he has gone through some health problems with his back. He has not won a PGA tournament since then. He won yesterday. He's 35 years old now. He's married to Ellie. They have four children and one on the way.
I love it.
He is a wonderful family guy. And I just felt good for him and good for his family. And when his son Arrow was born, they named his son Arrow. He had quoted scripture when the baby was born that the arrow's going to go into the right direction. I'm so grateful for the chance to be with the family now and raise them with a bigger purpose. And he quoted some scripture, but he's a deep Christian guy. I believe he's a Christian guy, and he loves his family. And it was great to see him win a PGA tournament and a big one at that.
I love that. That's one of the great things about sport is that, I mean, even if you're a team sport athlete, one of the reasons that we further indebts ourselves to that team is we get to know personally, you know, through the press generally. Sometimes you get a chance to shake a guy's hand or interview people. Like on this show, we've had a chance to interview some really big athletes, both in their playing days and outside of their playing days. But that more endears you to that individual. And everything I've heard and seen about this guy, I like him. Jason Day, he's an Australian, right?
Australian, yep, absolutely.
Yeah, and since that time, he shook his hand and he won at the Wells Fargo golf tournament.
Yeah, now he lives in Ohio now. Is that okay with you?
Well, okay, of all the places to live, that's an interesting place to live when you're a millionaire.
Waltersville, Ohio, maybe Radio
Maria
has an outlet there.
Yeah, I think they do.
But anyhow, we've had great guests on this show and the head coach of our Carolina Panthers.
Frank Reich was on
a couple of years ago on Radio Maria. So we're endeared to him and wish him all the best of luck in his new job.
Unless he's playing the Detroit Lions, then I'm gonna vote for them to come in second place, right? I mean, that's fair enough, right? And I think I've told the listening audiences before, the reason it's so special that Frank Reich has come here to Carolina to coach these Panthers, his older brother, Joe Reich, a friend of mine, a friend of the show, is a colleague of mine at Wingate University. He's the head football coach at Wingate. So for the first time in years, these guys are in the same town together, head coaches of their respective teams.
You should be able to get some of the passes to training camp, I'm thinking.
I want to get I want to get tickets to the Super Bowl. What are you talking about?
Yeah,
Chris,
exactly.
He's talking about training camp. I want to go to the Super Bowl. Come on, Frank. Are you listening or not,
go
brother?
Go big or stay home, Doc Aquaviva. Doc Aquaviva, stay home.
You got the tributary out over there. You got to drink some whiskey.
You got to drink some whiskey.
I'm talking about staying in the castle. By the way, was staying in a castle, was it reasonable, like the cost to stay in a castle?
That was like $230 a night.
Okay.
So that's a little on the high end.
That is a little on the high end.
But they ought to give you a discount for it being haunted.
Well, yeah.
I know. In fact, it's probably 4:30 normally, but, because
she was telling stories of what are those professionals that come in with all the monitoring equipment?
The Ghostbusters?
No, not the Ghostbusters. A paranormal kind
of. Yeah.
And they did.
I thought we nailed that.
They did send some things. And then underneath where the larger room is, there's a grate where the dungeon is, and there's a skeleton down there. And I said to the lady who was operating the place, I go, who was that? She goes, that was my ex-husband.
Did you not to get on her bad side?
She was a joy to be with, and she was loving life. And there was a lot of highlights in the trip. But go to Scotland.
I never knew you could actually stay in a castle. Was it cold?
No, the heater, it was warm. Okay. That heater, I mean, it's just like a hotel in a way.
I just sense that whenever you're in a place like that, like every time I watched Downton Abbey and you could tell it was cold outside.
We went by that castle, by the way. The one that's in...
Come on.
Yeah, there was a castle that was part of that show. We went by
that.
Got
it. So in other words, the outer part was...
Here's the problem is the walls are like, 2 feet thick.
Wow.
So where the router is for the Wi-Fi, you got to be in the right room.
So the problem is, now it makes sense why you didn't get haunted. The ghost has a really hard time going through 2 feet of stone. Right?
Of stone. Yeah. Stone from the 1300s, 1400s.
If it's like 6 inches, like drywall, ghosts go right through. But when it's 2 feet, they're like, boo. And Ed's like, I don't hear anything.
Yeah.
Honey, do you hear anything? Boo. No, I don't hear anything. The good part about this, Ed, about this haunted castle, they could have said, well, listen, it's haunted, but they come bring you breakfast in the morning in bed, right? Yeah. That would be a good thing. That'd be a good perk. I'm just saying. How much time we got left, brother?
Do you believe in ghosts, by the way?
All right. What's that?
I believe in ghosts or spirits.
I
mean,
struggle.
As a devout Catholic, this is a good question.
I struggle with it. I really struggle with it. And you know why? Because I've never experienced anything like that. But I also know, I want to know, what is the official teaching of our faith, of the Catholic Church, on ghosts and on spirits? Do you think they have a position on this?
I would think we would.
Anyway, listen, if you're in Peshtigo or anywhere in Radio Maria land, Altoona, Duncansville.
Duncansville?
Is it Duncansville?
Or Carolina Catholic Media Duncanburg. Right here in the Carolinas.
Yeah.
I know the Duncansville people are like, it's Duncansburg. Actually, I forgot the name of it, but I know it's not too far from Altoona.
Hollidaysburg.
Hollidaysburg.
Yeah, Hollidaysburg.
There's Hollidaysburg. Very good. Anyway, I want to hear from you folks. What is the official?
How can they reply to your question?
I love that. Thank you, brother. You can tweet me, j.aquaviva, number one, j.aquaviva1, or faithandsport@wingate.edu.
Listen, the question again is?
Is how many licks does it take to get to the center of a Tootsie Roll Tootsie Pop?
Does the Catholic Church have a position on ghosts and spirits?
Yeah.
Oh, that's right. That was my second question.
He is fired up today, folks.
Chris, I messed up. That was the question for the second half of the show. I forgot about that.
That was for the Q&A.
Quickly. By the way, we got quick Q&A coming up. Dr. Chad Carlson's coming up. We got a great story about him.
Can't wait.
Okay, listen. Do you know about this? In fact, you were probably out of the country when this happened. Lionel Messi. Do you know who Lionel Messi is?
He's a soccer player.
He's a soccer player. He's considered probably, not only is he the richest athlete in the world, but he's maybe considered the greatest soccer player of all time. I know, in fact, he plays for Argentina, or the national team. Of course, Pelé played for Argentina and so forth. But he was offered by the same Saudi government that funds the LIV tournament, the golf tournament.
Oh.
Did you hear about this?
No, I did not.
Okay, so this is great. What would be in a ridiculous amount? Now, think of whatever a ridiculous amount it is and then add several $100 million 1 year
to play soccer for who?
To play for the Saudi professional league.
I have no idea.
Just what would be ridiculous, Ed? Come on.
Oh, like $200 million.
$400 million they offered. I'm not exaggerating. They offered him $400 million. And the funny thing is his dad plays his agent, his rep.
Yeah, right.
And along with this agency representing him, I'd love to know what that negotiation is like. If they're offering $400, they're like
$400 million.
$400 million. I mean, are they saying something like, "Listen, I got to feed my family. Can we make it $401 million?" I mean, talk about the world of professional sport and their contracts getting beyond ridiculous. There's not even a word in the English language that demonstrates how ridiculous that number is. Come on.
So what did he decide, or is it still undecided?
Breaking news right here on Faith and Sport, here on Carolina Catholic Radio and Radio Maria. He declined it. And you know why? He said, "I was insulted by the low number for 1 year." No, I'm teasing. But he did decline it. He has no interest in playing.
And taking Saudi money.
By the way, Chris, before we go to break, how many licks does it take? What does the owl say? How many licks does it take to get to the center of a Tootsie Roll Tootsie Pop? It's three.
I think it's three, yeah.
He licks it.
One, two, and then he bites.
Do you remember this commercial ad when you were a kid? Hey, listen, folks. You're listening to Faith.
I'm a lot younger than you guys.
Exactly. So it's out of his realm of memory. Folks, you're listening to Faith and Sport. I'm
we'll
Dr. John
right
Aquaviva.
Back.
We're here with Ed Billick.
Thank you for joining us.
Yeah, we'll be right back.
Right back.
Thanks for joining us. Ciao.
Faith and charity are key elements of life, but are they at the center of your retirement planning and life insurance decisions? Knights of Columbus, a trusted organization with a proud history of more than 140 years of helping its members, can help Catholic families with insurance and retirement planning solutions. Most importantly, we do this in a way that is compatible with Catholic teaching and the U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops Investment Guidelines. Today, we have expanded our offerings to include retirement annuities, long-term care insurance, and disability income insurance. Beyond the benefits of financial protection, members may take satisfaction in knowing that Knights of Columbus contributes to causes that align with Catholic moral teaching. Let your faith inspire your financial decisions. Terms and conditions apply. Learn more by calling field agent Bob Gordon at 516-551-7838.
Teachers that care, professors that care about you. Just an awesome experience all around.
There's peace here. There's encouragement here.
Faculty, everybody that works here, they really set you up for success.
I don't think I have ever felt as loved and as supported and as encouraged as I have at the Abbey.
There's something here that's underlying and intrinsic. It's like a spirit of love and community. And I think the spirit is God's presence here.
Belmont Abbey College, a world away, but close to home. Visit us at belmontabbeycollege.edu.
Folks, when you hear that music, you know we're coming in intro or outro.
Kudos to Chris Pressler and his selection of rejoins.
I know, it's fantastic.
I just want to dance a little bit here at Faith
and
Sport.
Yeah.
Nice job, Chris. Crank it up just a little.
Name the band.
And now.
Do you know who this band is?
R.E.M. And yeah. Now, you know who your host is. It's Dr. John
Aquaviva.
Hey, folks, welcome back to the show. You're listening to Faith in Sport, where we look at sport through a Catholic lens. Ed, I mentioned the story about Lionel Messi, and I forgot to mention whether it's my hit or miss. I think to some, they're probably even thinking, yeah, was that your hit or miss, dude? But second of all, they would wonder, after I said it, was that a hit or a miss? And it's actually a miss, because I think it's become somewhat ludicrous on how the Saudis have stepped into the world of sport and have just offered athletes this astronomical amount of money. By the way, they offered him 400 million in euro. And that is, I think it's even more money, right?
The exchange rate, I think, is much, much more lucrative.
It's going to be, it's crazy. So that was my miss of the week. Listen, Eddie, one of the things that I wanted to talk to you about, and we were talking in preparation for this, is this NIL, name, image, and likeness, has, of course, been a major story in the world of college sports because so many athletes, in fact, of many sports, but mainly basketball and football, they've been allowed by the NCAA, the school can't pay them, but they can get money from sponsorships, right? So they can lend their name, image, and likeness, and that's why it's called NIL, right? But the shocker is that North Carolina, the state we do this show in, has agreed to allow the high school students of the state the same opportunities. But the shocker was, Ed, in researching this story, there's over 20 states that already do it.
Pennsylvania did, with the WPIAL.
And just a side note before I get your opinion on it, it can't be adult entertainment, can't be anything associated with that. It can't have anything to do with vaping or tobacco, gambling or alcohol, which is good, right? I like that they set those limits on that. And if the student's going to take money, they have to take a course. And so do the parents of that athlete, and so do the coaches of that
athlete. Makes sense.
Yeah, it's interesting. I'm totally against this, but you're for it. Why?
Okay, I'm a business guy.
Okay.
I'm running a car dealership.
Okay.
And I'm going to give John Aquaviva, who's the quarterback of our local high school, I give him $1,000 to come out and sign autographs.
Sure.
Is that a return on my investment? Will I sell more cars because the high school quarterback is there? What will I get for that? I don't see a return on investment. It's nice from a player side that they can go do that and make some extra bucks on the side. I don't see this thing lasting. I really don't. Unless it's a Joe Montana who's going to be a future NFL, but no one really knows that in a high school level. So I don't know why local businesses would even want to dabble in this. Now, I may be naive.
Yeah, there might be some naivete there. But, brother, whether it lasts or not, I come at it from a different angle. I'm worried about the integrity of sport, and I'm worried about the integrity and the level of interest in the sport from the athlete's standpoint. One of the reasons we do this show is we want to pass along the word to parents, to coaches, to athletes, to referees, that there's more to playing sport, so to speak, right? It's metaphysical. It's beyond the physical aspect of it. It's not just to, you know, throw that fastball to score a touchdown or to dunk a ball. It's to glorify God, right, in this machine we call the human body. God has given us this great machine. And some machines run faster, are taller, have more skill than other machines. And it's wonderful to see that in action, right? This is one of the reasons we love sports. One of the reasons we like college sports and pro sports is because they're playing at such a high level. And we want to enjoy it for its pureness. I want also people to see the purity of them playing in that sport too. And the purity has been lost at the professional level, and now it's been lost at the college level. Do you know that the number one transfer in college basketball this year is a 7-foot center from Michigan? He played 3 years for Michigan, yeah. Entered the transfer portal, and by all accounts, including an interview that he did, the reason he transferred wasn't because he was going to give a better chance to win a national title. He said he's going to receive more money from NIL through the University of Kansas.
Yeah, and okay, and what's that doing? I'm going to buy my mom a new house.
I understand.
And some of these kids don't have anything to start with, so that becomes a motivator. And to your point, the bigger that money gets, the more motivation it gets. And to your point, too, it clouds what the real reason for excelling
for
sports.
Yeah. Yeah, and now, in a way, you could say, right after NIL has been introduced at the college level, that, okay, high school is the last true authentic form of sport at that level, right? They're 18-year-olds, 17-year-olds, 16-year-olds, most of them. And it was still like the last of the amateurs. And now, in essence, they're not amateurs either. 28 states have done this. That's a shocker. I consider myself a student of these topics, and I had no idea that 27 other states.
I would like
have done
to go
this.
Forward, John, in 3 to 5 years to do a post audit with businesses of some of these towns, and even some of the big Texas towns that have high school stadiums that can hold 30,000 people. I'd love to do a post audit on this and see is it still in existence, and what's been the return on investment? Because I really don't see that.
No, that's an interesting question. It'll be really good to ask them that. But as you know, in some ways, it doesn't matter where they get return investment for this reason. There are people that give money every year to booster clubs and directly to the university.
The colleges, yeah.
Yeah, and what they get in return might be season tickets. And a lot of them, of course, live out of state. They may not even take something like that. They probably don't get anything in return. And the reason they give it is because they want to help their alma mater win. Yeah. Right? That's the only reason they do it. And that's one of the things that NCAA stepped in. You can no longer use NIL to recruit a college student, which is a good rule to have in place. Anyway, we can leave that by the side of the road. Folks, you're listening to Faith in Sport here on Carolina Catholic Radio. It's a co-production of Radio Maria. I'm Dr. John Aquaviva. Co-hosting with me today is Ed Billick.
And what you heard was John's true message on why we do the show, as he described the value of faith and sport.
That's right. Thank you, brother. Faith and sport, where we merge sport and virtue. Something else to talk about. I thought this was perhaps the most interesting story of the week in preparation for the show. I saw this and I said, faith and sport topic for sure. Ensworth High School baseball season ended Thursday morning, even after Ensworth won. Not only won, but they won by a no-hitter in the state playoffs in the state of Tennessee. So they won the game. They won the game by a no-hitter. But the reason they ended up losing the game was they have a pitch count in Tennessee, like almost all other high schools in America have a pitch count. You can only pitch so many pitches per day, right? And so this is to keep from players dominating into the playoffs. So like, let's say you have a decent team, but you have an A1 pitcher. You know, the pitch count keeps them from dominating and pitching as much as they possibly can. And of course, it also is going to cut down on injuries, right?
You're not talking by game, you're talking total pitches?
I think what it is they can only pitch, I think there's a total amount they can pitch per every couple of days, but in this case, they could not pitch more than 120 pitches in a given game. This kid pitched a no-hitter. It included 16 strikeouts. That's one of the reasons why he threw so many pitches, right? If you get people to pop out or ground out in one of the first two pitches, you throw a lot less pitches. But if you strike people out, that means you're going to throw a whole lot more pitches.
Oh, you sure will.
So this coach called the state association and said, we went over by one pitch, and they were deemed the losers of the game, and the other team went on and moved on.
Okay, so they were rejected. What's the word? They were
eliminated?
Eliminated.
Yeah.
Because they went over by one pitch.
Yeah, they went over by one pitch. And the reason, and apparently this is just self-reporting. It's kind of like golf, right, where it's self-reported. But if you're found out to be cheating in any manner, then there's some type of penalty with pro golfers. There's suspension and so forth. And here, I think it was self-reported, but he found out. And in fact, I think what he did is he went back to the scores book and he saw that he pitched one more pitch.
And he came forward. What's your thoughts on this?
I think it's great, because this is one of the issues that bleeds into all aspects of life. And that is we are asked, for instance, not to take anabolic steroids in sport. You can believe whatever you want about steroids, but if the rule is you can't take steroids, you are asked to respect those rules. If it says 65 miles an hour, you can go over that, but if you go over, then it's possible you're going to get reprimanded with a ticket, a fine of some sort.
And absolutely, and so to that point, when you're layering values over these kind of things, you got to go on the upside on this thing. You can't kind of be Slim Shady this stuff.
Of course, and that's why.
Because it's not always about winning.
That's right, because this is going back to the beginning of our conversation just a couple minutes ago. The reason that we do this show is because of the Vatican putting forth what's called an Office of the Laity, called the Office of Church and Sport. And it was started by St. John Paul II in 2004, about a year before his death, in which he said, listen, folks, sport is a great part of our contemporary culture. It's a very important part of our culture. Let's not demean it or let's not ignore it. Let's, though, on the other hand, make sure we bring our faith into sport. So that's why I said in the beginning, whether you're a coach, a referee, administrator, a parent, a grandparent, or the athlete themselves, you owe it to the sport to bring your faith, your ethics. So it means being honest on the field as well as being off the field. It means having respect for the other individual, whether on the field or off the field. That's the whole point of this. This gentleman, this coach of this team in Tennessee, simply said, no, we were asked to abide by this rule. I realized he went one pitch over. And of course, the irony was, he not only won the game, he threw a no-hitter. And I mean this, God bless him. And there's a lot of people, maybe even practicing Christians, practicing Catholics, that say, I'm not sure I would do it in that situation, though. That's exactly when you do
Absolutely. It. He's role modeling for that next generation. That's what good coaches do.
Yes, absolutely.
They prepare folks for their livelihood.
That's right. By the way, it said, regarding this pitch count, it says, the Tennessee rule sees pitch count violations submitted to its office each year. He says, but it's more common in the playoffs when teams play several consecutive days. So it's interesting that I think that's when people like are more likely to pay attention to stuff like that, because it's usually elimination is at stake. Whereas it's a regular season game, certainly everybody wants to win, but it's more important during those years.
20, 30 years ago, we wouldn't even be talking about pitch count.
No. Did you, brother, before we go to a break, did you see the video I sent about it was a small college, I think it was Division II, and the guy hit this walk-off home run? You didn't see that video?
No.
And now, remember, he's a right-handed batter, and so over here to his right is the dugout, but that was the opposing team. So his dugout was to his back. It was the third base side. And he hit a home run, and it was a game-winning home run. And he threw that bat about 30 feet over and about 30 feet in the air, and they call it a bat flip, right? And anyway, the umpire waited for him to touch all the bases and touch home plate. And as soon as he touched home plate, he goes, "You're out, son." And the player started to argue. The manager of the team or the coach of the team started to argue with him. He threw that coach out. And I thought that's a really good example of what we're talking about. Because not only is it disrespectful to do that 30-foot bat flip, it's dangerous.
Well, yeah. It reminded me of those Scottish movies where the arrows are coming down and somebody can get speared in the chest. That's what it reminded me of there. It was a wee crazy.
It's a wee crazy. Very good. Folks, you're listening to Faith and Sport here on Carolina Catholic Radio, a co-production of Radio Maria. We are so glad you joined us today. Listen, Dr. Chad Carlson, professor of kinesiology and the co-host of Sport, Faith, and Life, is going to join us right after the break. Hang with us. We'll be right back in 2 minutes.
On January 31st, 2019, Carolina Catholic Media signed on Charlotte's first Catholic radio station, AM 1270 WCGC. By the grace of God, we celebrate the past 4 years and look forward to continuing our apostolic vision and mission to serve the Carolina Catholic community. We are evangelistic partners with our clergy, active parishioners, the fallen away, and the homebound. We are accessible to all Christians, agnostics, and atheists. With distribution of a wide array of content across 7 media platforms, there truly is something for everyone. During these past 4 years, Carolina Catholic has expanded to 7 media platforms that include radio, internet stream, mobile app, website, YouTube, social media, and e-newsletter. Nearly all local programs are available by podcast and video on demand. In the year ahead, we're committed to promote more local parish, school, and ministry events, more live broadcasts, and more valuable content that showcases our dynamic local Carolina Catholic community. Of all the Catholic radio stations in the U.S., Carolina Catholic is arguably a leader in locally produced programs. To continue our work, Carolina Catholic Media needs $15,000 in monthly funding to continue operations across our 7 media platforms. We are 100% dependent on your generosity. If you love what we're doing, please join us with a monthly tithe or annual gift. We have partnership plans available for parishes, schools, and ministries. If you own a business, you can be a program sponsor on one or all of our platforms. You can do a live broadcast of a special event with promotion before and rebroadcast after. On behalf of everyone at Carolina Catholic Media, we thank you for your past support and look forward to you joining us with the resources the apostolate needs to continue to evangelize the truth of Jesus Christ and our Catholic faith across the Carolinas. May God bless you and your family abundantly.
That song day after day. Folks, you're listening to Faith and Sport here on Carolina Catholic Radio. It's a co-production of Radio Maria. I promised that Dr. Chad Carlson would be with us. He's on the phone right now. We're going to have a great conversation with him. Just a little bit about Dr. Carlson. He's associate professor of kinesiology at Hope College in Michigan. So we have that in common. We're both Michiganders. He's the co-host of the podcast Sport, Faith, and Life. And one of his many publications includes Game Spirituality, How Games Tell Us More Than We Think. Dr. Chad Carlson, welcome to Faith and Sport.
Oh, John, so great to be here.
I appreciate
it. So for the conversation.
No, me too. So let's get the big one out of the way, brother. So you did your PhD at Penn State, correct?
I did.
You're a big Penn State football fan, correct?
Absolutely.
All right, what hurts more if Michigan beats Penn State in a football game or Ohio State beats Penn State in a football game?
That is the existential question. When we lose to both of them, it's not a good year, and that's happened far too often.
Which one hurts more, honestly?
probably Michigan. Living in Michigan, I just have to confront Michigan fans much more regularly.
Oh, got it. Yeah, that makes sense. Of course, of course. But Ohio State's a close second.
Oh, that's a tough one, too. Yep, you bet.
Well, listen to this, brother. This is borderline controversy on Christian radio, but my brother-in-law, as you might remember from previous conversation, played football at Penn State under Joe Paterno. And one time I asked him, I said, what if Michigan and Ohio State are playing? Who do you hope wins the game or loses the game? And he looked at me and he goes, I hope both of their buses crash on the way there.
Oh, I think the exact same thing. That's perfect.
And you call yourself a Christian. Holy smokes, brother.
So hard, yep.
You know what Ed said to me, the co-host of the show? He said, John, you're going to have to define kinesiology. So you know what? I hesitated to do it, and now that you're on, you define it. What's kinesiology? I know it by definition, it means the study of movement. But if somebody that outside of the field says, what does that mean? You're a professor of kinesiology. What do you tell them?
Yeah, it's most essentially the study of human movement, of course. But really what we're doing is we're studying meaningful human movement, right? So movement that is functional by nature. And so, we can think about movement as like, swallowing food and there's movement going on inside your body. It's not really what we're studying. We're studying the ability to function in the physical world.
I always take a card that my major professor from my master's degree always said. He had a postdoctorate in exercise physiology. He was the best exercise physiologist and the smartest physiologist and the best person in that field I had ever met. And one time I asked him, I said, what do you say when people ask you what you do? And I almost fell off my seat laughing when he said, I just tell them I'm a gym teacher. And I thought, you know what? I've done that before. And people go, oh, okay, now I understand what you do.
That's the essence of it, for sure.
Brother, you are the co-host of Sport, Faith, Life with Dr. Brian Bolt. He's a friend of mine. He's a friend of this show. He's been on this show many times. And you guys have been doing this podcast for how long, Chad?
Yeah, it's been 4 years now. We publish a new episode every 2 weeks, and
awesome.
So we're almost at 90 episodes.
Oh, that's outstanding. So you've learned something along the way for sure. What would you say floats to the top of that list of things that you've learned, either through conversations with Dr. Bolt, your own insights that have developed from guests? What would you say is the most that you've learned from doing this podcast?
I'll share two things, and I think the number one thing is that the two of us, our mutual friend, Dr. Brian Bolt, has such practical wisdom. I've just really enjoyed him as a co-host and working alongside him to connect with people in the field. I mean, he's just sort of such a humble guy, but really oozes Christian wisdom, and I've really benefited a lot from being around him. I would also say I've just been so impressed with the amount of work that so many people are doing at the intersection of sport and Christianity. I mean, it's unbelievable the breadth of sort of professional camps that these people fall into, who all seem to have a really strong interest in sport and Christianity. We have chaplains and other otherwise ministry leaders. There's professors, there's coaches, athletic directors, athletes. We've been able to interview so many different people from different walks of life, and they just care so deeply about sport, and they care so deeply about their Christian faith and about sort of sharing goodness in both of those realms. So that's probably been the number one thing for me. It's just I've just been so impressed with the community that doesn't even realize that there is a supportive community around them. So that's really what we're trying to do, but the big thing is there's so many people doing so much good work in the field.
Absolutely. No, I agree with that, and that's one of the great things about us doing this show is we get to meet other people that are doing the same thing. In fact, interestingly, I've had people like you, like Dr. Bolt, another gentleman that's doing a show similar in Florida, and I always think they're kind of shocked when they hear from me because they're saying, what, you want to hear from somebody that does the same thing you do? And I go, yeah, of course, I want to get their perspective. And speaking of perspective, you mentioned Brian Bolt. There's been many times that he's been on this show, and I'll ask him a question. He kind of gets philosophical, and he throws some theology in there. And my thought, if there was a bubble that you could read like a cartoon above my head, it often says, I think what he's saying is really cool, but I don't really understand what he's talking about. And you're probably so used to it and you're on his level. So you're probably like, dude, I know exactly what you're talking about. But, you know, when you go to Florida State, Chad, it's just a different story. You know, my PhD is from Florida State. And I'm not even sure that's an accredited school. So, hey, listen, brother, a question I like to ask guests periodically. This is not the same question I ask every guest, but I think this would be great because you were an athlete even up through college, right there at Hope College. You were a basketball player. You even did some coaching at that at the college level for Hope College. But let me ask this kind of general question. What is something about sport today that's directly involved in sport that's better than when you were a kid? And what's worse?
Yeah, there's just so much more that we know about sport now. So I think it's probably pretty easy to answer any number of things, both on the good side and the bad side. I love this question, and I think it's really sort of the question. You know, when Dr. Bolt and I spend time in the ivory towers like we do, we tend to be insulated from the realities of what's going on in sport. And so sometimes I think the theory doesn't match the practice in terms of what we're doing, what we're saying. So it's really fun for us when we get a chance to spend time with people who are on the ground. And both of us are you know, scholars and also practitioners.
Yeah.
They connect with sport in some way or another. It seems to me that what we're really doing well right now at the elite levels that we haven't in the past is trying to provide healthy lives, healthy lifestyles for elite level athletes in a way that it just hasn't in maybe a generation ago, right? So we're thinking about ways in which we can support student athletes who are college athletes by offering them mental health services.
Sure.
They haven't had those in the past, or helping them think about retirement. And
yeah.
Most college athletes, that's immediately after their senior season. And what are they going to do with their lives now? And so I think we've got support networks around athletes that are really in the pressure cooker of elite-level competition.
Yeah.
That's better than what it's been, you know, a generation ago. And so I think that's a really healthy and good thing.
Yeah.
You know, the flip side of that, I think people oftentimes point to any number of evils or bad things going on in sport that get worse. And we continue to consume more and more sport, and so that puts more and more pressure on this sort of winning or performance-based ethic. That's a really difficult thing for kids. I have kids right now that are in the throes of sport, and I'm in the throes of coaching them. And if I'm not coaching them, I'm a parent. And it's amazing to me the level of involvement and investment from families and from parents. And I think so often that leads to a great deal of entitlement that again, sort of drives this performance-based ethic, whereas a generation ago, multiple generations ago, it was more of a play-based ethic.
Right.
So I think that presents some problems. I don't think that's something that's necessarily always a bad thing, but I do think it's led to, you know, on the whole, more negative than positive outcomes in terms of youth sport and development within sport.
Folks, we're talking with Dr. Chad Carlson. He is a professor of kinesiology at Hope College in Michigan. He's the co-host of the podcast Sport, Faith, Life. You're listening to Faith in Sport here on Carolina Catholic Radio, a co-production of Radio Maria. How many years you been coaching, Chad?
Well, I coached college basketball for 8 years. I don't do that right now. I've stepped away and
at the youth level. Then?
Yeah, now I'm coaching at the youth level, right?
And how many years have you volunteered in some aspect, either the head or volunteer and assistant or something?
Sure. I've been doing that for 10 years now.
Oh, too. Wow. So yeah, you have great experience. So I think this is a great question for you with all that experience. The other day, I was overlooking, and there's this field, and there's literally about 15 different fields at this complex where my son plays baseball. Literally, to my right, there was rugby practice going on. Straight ahead, there was softball games going on. To my left and behind me were the baseball games and so forth going on. They play lacrosse there. They play football there. It's a really amazing complex. And I just looked out and saw all of these people, virtually every single one of them, volunteering to spend time with their son or their daughter and all these volunteers that were there. I think because of video, because of Twitter, Facebook, and so forth, that it's like a lot of things in our culture, especially when we watch the news, we tend to think there's a whole lot of bad going on, especially a whole lot of bad going on in the world of sport. But the fact is, all the good that's going on doesn't receive any press because it's not line worthy, right? It's not video worthy. Somebody doing what they should do, right, in the world of sport. And my guess is you being on the front lines, you've been doing this for 10 years, that's what you've mostly seen, right? Like, in other words, people can go to bed at night knowing that the world of youth sport is ultimately a good, positive experience for those kids.
I absolutely agree with that.
That's great.
The 10 years I've been doing this across 5 or 6 different sports, never once have I seen a fight among adults. I really even see more than just a sort of incidental scuffle among athletes. You know, I agree. I think there's a sport, youth sport gets a bad reputation just because of the ways in which we're able to see these viral videos of that one bad thing that happened, you know, or the next bad thing that happened. And certainly there is bad at times, and people take it to extremes. But I got to tell you, I've had such wonderful experiences being a part of it because, in some ways, because I've been able to drive it with my own value system. So maybe I feel like it's been a great experience because, for me, it's sort of my values as a coach, and maybe other people around my team don't feel the same way. But I'm trying to do my best, and I think by and large most parents are trying to do their best.
Oh, I agree. And it's not only a matter of trying to do your best, because that's a statement that can be relative, right? And really, what does that mean?
Sure,
I'm trying to do my best. And even people say that when they're not really giving a good effort, or they're so kind of broken that, you know, it causes these really negative situations. But I think it's just like, you know, most aspect, if not every aspect of life, at least in general, that the good is going to ultimately prevail. And one of the things that I want listeners of this show to kind of grasp onto, but to really hold on to, is that don't shy away from sport because of the videos you see. I think that's a great testimony, Chad, what you just said. You've been involved for 10 years at the youth level, and not one time have you seen a scuffle between, and does this count between the fans and umpires, between the coaches themselves, and in among the fans themselves, correct?
Absolutely. Yep, none of that. Never seen a scuffle in any of those. Yep.
No, brother, that says a whole lot. Listen, please come back. I want to ask you about this article you published, Game Spirituality, How Games Tell Us More Than We Think. All right, hang with us. We're going to go to a break for a couple minutes. We'll come right back and we'll continue this conversation. Folks, you're listening to Faith and Sport here on Carolina Catholic Radio, co-production of Radio Maria. We'll be right back.
Carolina Catholic Parish News. St. Patrick Cathedral is offering Totus Tuus, a week-long summer camp for children and teens. Grades 1 through 6 will meet Monday through Friday from 9 to 2:30. Grades 7 through 12 will meet Sunday through Thursday, 7 to 9 p.m. The cost for the camp is $30 per person. The program consists of mass, games, and tons of fun. Go to stpatricks.org/totus-tuus, that's TOTUS-TUUS, to register. St. Gabriel is happy to announce Vacation Bible School during the week of June 12th through the 16th. This program is for grades 1 through 5. Expect a week of fun, games, skits, and Bible stories. The cost is $100, free for parents who volunteer. Scholarships available. Register at stgabrielchurch.org/VBS. For the Carolina Catholic Media News, I'm Pam Cullen. God bless y'all.
Experience the incredible story of the woman who Time magazine named the most influential Catholic woman in the United States. Born Rita Rizzo, the future mother Angelica grew up in a rough neighborhood in Canton, Ohio. Young Rita experienced abandonment, rejection, and heartache, but God touched her through a woman named Rhoda Wise. Encounter this amazing woman at the Mother Angelica Museum. Plan your visit today at MotherAngelicaMuseum.com.
Hey guys, it's Jason Murphy for the Obligation Radio Show. Make sure to tune in on Friday afternoons at 5 p.m. to catch our latest episodes. From kids to marriage to business and church to politics to current events, we discuss topics of faith and life to help you become the man, the father, the husband God is calling you to be. Catch replays streaming throughout the week and on demand over the Carolina Catholic Radio app or anytime at carolinacatholicradio.org. God bless and esto vir.
Hey folks, welcome back to Faith and Sport. I'm Dr. John Aquaviva. Faith and Sport, we apply our faith to all aspects of sport. So whether you are an athlete, a parent of an athlete, grandparent of an athlete, a referee, administrator, coach, however you're involved in the world of sport, this is the show for you because we take ethics, morality, and character, and we weave it into that everyday conversation of what we call sport, sport at all level. Speaking of, we're talking to a longtime coach, longtime physical educator, and a longtime podcaster on the world of faith and sport, Dr. Chad Carlson. Chad, let's continue our conversation. Now, you're like a lot of professors. You've done some research. You have some publications. I want to ask you in particularly, Chad, about an article you wrote called Game Spirituality, How Games Tell Us More Than We Think. What do games or should games tell us, brother?
Yeah, thanks for the question. The idea here with this paper is that we oftentimes use religion to help us find meaning in our lives, right?
Yeah.
To understand the transcendent experiences, where our place is within the world and the cosmos, even beyond our physical world. And oftentimes we look to games to do something similar without even realizing that that's actually what we're doing. And so when, as a kid, you're steeped in the tales of the Old Testament, of Jonah being, you know, spit out of the shark, and Noah in the flood, and Jesus riding in on Palm Sunday on a donkey into Jerusalem.
Right.
These are the stories that kind of help us understand what Christians do, what it means to be a follower of Jesus Christ. And so it's some of those stories that help us, you know, the narrative of Christians of the past that help us understand things. And we do something similar in our most popular games, specifically our sports, right? So
yep.
We have stories that we kind of tell ourselves to help us understand the narrative of the sport, and that in some ways sort of helps us understand how we act and behave within those sort of sport settings. So what I'm arguing in that paper is that games function a lot like religions do from a sort of a cultural perspective, and that they help us understand meaning-making structures within our lives. They help us understand kind of what to think, how to think, how we behave. And that's not to say that games are sort of heretical or taking the place of religion, but just to say that the idea that in games we do things that we don't always have to do, it's a little bit like kind of the ethics of the morality within a Christian faith, but any faith, really, religious faith, that you do things because that's what we do, and that's what you do when you are a member of this community.
Right.
So that's kind of what I'm arguing there, is that games function a little bit that way, and it's a lot because in games we games have these features that draw us in. It's these things that we wouldn't otherwise do, right? We have no reason otherwise to have to try to jump over a horizontal pole. You know, it's as high as possible. We never have to do that in our lives, but in high jump, you know, that's kind of what we do,
right?
And we push the limits of human abilities there.
Well, I love it. You just gave us a little taste of that, so we're going to drive people to that journal. What journal was that published in, by the way? Because I'm sure about half of our listeners already subscribed to that journal. What about for those who don't have that journal coming to their house?
Yeah, so it's an academic journal. And
I'm telling you, brother, they still get it. Our guys are academics out there.
That's great. Yep, sport ethics and philosophy.
Got it.
And so it's in a special issue on spirituality itself, but it's a philosophical journal.
Got it. Brother, I'm going to leave you with this. You asked me a great question when I was on your guys' podcast, Sport, Faith, Life, and you said, what was I forgot exactly how you worded it, but what was the most hurtful loss that you ever experienced? And I can't remember, did you say as a spectator or as a fan or both? Do you remember?
Gosh.
Okay,
no.
So... How about you? You have a lot of experience. What about as a coach at Hope, right? They played, is it Division III, correct?
Yeah.
Okay. So you play, you're an athlete, Division III. You've done dozens and probably a dozen or more years of competitive ball as well as probably other sports. What about for you? What was the, either as a coach or as an athlete, the loss that hurt the most and why?
Yeah. Well, I'm not sure how many of your listeners know this, but the school I work at, Hope College, I'm an alum of Hope College. That's where I played. It's where I coached. It's where I now teach. Brian Bolt, who we both talked about here a few times now in this interview, is an alum and coaches and teaches at Kelvin University.
Right.
And we are rivals. The two schools are rivals. We stem from the same sort of the same immigrant population 150 years ago. And so I will say this, the losses to those, to Kelvin University, the rival school, are the hardest. And I can name each one of them. Sadly, there's more than one.
With too much detail. And you mean that. You're not just saying that because you know Brian's going to be listening to the show. And does Brian know this? That like if does he know the answer to this question?
Oh, absolutely.
Oh,
absolutely he does. And I know it is, you know, for him too, losing the hope. Now
oh, sure.
Coach,
sure. Well, brother, listen, I'm going to cut short this conversation or at least end at this point, I should say. But listen, please, I'm going to have you on in the future. You have so much to talk about. Please, when that invite comes out, please say yes to that again, okay?
John, it's been a pleasure. Thanks so much.
Okay, thank you for being a great witness to our Christian faith. And thank you, and we'll talk soon, Chad.
You're welcome.
Okay, bye. There you go, folks. Dr. Chad Carlson, a professor of kinesiology at Hope College. I thought that was interesting, right? When you lose to your rival, it's just like, right? Sports, right, lets you know that you are alive.
He is a smooth talker.
Isn't he?
I mean, he's calm.
Oh, yeah.
I could see he'd be a great coach.
He would be.
yeah, I got to get on. I got to listen to some of his podcasts.
Oh, yeah, no, those guys do a great job. I think they...
And you were on one of them, huh?
Yeah, they had me on, I think it was last year sometime. Mm-hmm. And I was really honored to be on that program. And they're just, it's really neat because they're like you and I, they just go back and forth. It's a little more philosophical and theological than our show, but it definitely has its...
So our listeners, what's it again?
It's it's Sport, Faith, Life. Dr. Brian Bolt. Dr.
Wherever you
Chet
get your podcast, go key that in.
That's right. Put that in there. Boom, there you go. Listen, folks, we have a few more minutes left here on Carolina Catholic Radio. It's co-production of Radio Maria. You're listening to Faith and Sport. Often we end with a segment called the Quick Q&A with Dr. A. Chris always comes up with a couple questions. What's number one, brother?
That's right. First one, your thoughts on UGA football sidestepping the White House again.
All right, so let's paint this picture for those who are unfamiliar with two parts of the story. First of all, UGA football, they won the national title.
University of Georgia.
Yep, Division I. Kirby Sparks,
Bulldogs.
Their coach. Yeah, the Bulldogs. They won in 2023. They just won a few months ago. For the second time in a row, they also won last year. And in both years, Ed, they declined the invitation to go to the White House. You know, this is a big thing. Whoever wins a championship in the major sports, NHL, NBA, and so forth, they get an invite to the White House. They've been doing this for decades. And they do the same thing with major sports in college, too. I don't think, for instance, the women's fencing team of Division II in Poughkeepsie, New York, gets an invite, right? However, if it's a Division I sport and if it's relatively known, they get an invite. And UGA, for the second time, did not get invited. And Kirby Smart.
They got invited.
They got invited. Yeah. They did not accept. They didn't go. Sorry about that misstep there. And everybody's wondering, okay, 1 year it's one thing, but 2 years, and he claimed it was in the heart of recruiting season, Kirby Smart said. And he declined. He said the timing was off. He goes, but I've been there before. It's a great experience. And it's an educational one to be at the White House, but we're not going to go. And I struggle with thinking that is the fullness of the answer.
Probably the answer is they've got better things to do than sitting down and watching President Joe Biden eat a big old bowl of chocolate chip ice cream.
It could be personal. Or it could be political, personal as in they just don't like him. It could be, you know, a political where they don't like the party sitting in the White House. But either
it's sad because it shows
you
divided we are. And if that's truly the case, I just think about the football players.
Yeah,
I mean,
right.
An opportunity to
that's
go
right.
to the White House,
right.
to be in that environment
yeah.
and be not deprived, but don't have the chance to do that. So what Kirby Smart said, I've been there before. Well, yeah, you probably have, but not the players.
I think
regardless of your politics, and of course they'll hype it up, at least the folks in the White House will. It's just sad. It's sad.
Yeah. No, actually, I don't think the White House has brought any attention to it because ultimately they're being shunned. And so I think that they've said very little, if anything, about it. But I think the press has grabbed onto this because they want to make it a story, right? And they want Kirby Smart to say something that's somewhat controversial and maybe to turn him against a certain part of the population, you know, especially the voting population.
Always.
But I agree, brother. This is about the students, those student athletes at UGA. They've been given opportunity. Are they going to be deprived? Is their life going to be worse?
No.
But they are taking away an opportunity. And there's only so many people that say they could do something
I would have thought when that decision was being worked that the parents of those football players might have had a voice.
Yeah.
Or maybe the voice was, we don't want them to go.
Yeah. Who knows? That's all possible. Either way.
What do you think, Chris?
Yeah.
Who knows?
Yeah, I mean, like I said, they've got better things to do than sit around watching President Joe Biden eat a big bowl of chocolate chip ice cream.
He does like ice cream. I give him that, though, brother. I like ice cream,
I like ice cream, too. And then they take a nap.
Yeah.
Chris, second question, brother. Quick Q&A with Dr. A here on Faith in Sport.
The second question is, your thoughts on Lions and Commanders players' gambling issues.
Okay, have you heard about this?
Well, one or two, but I didn't know it was related to the team.
Well, no, yeah, there's two players from the Lions and one player from the Commanders. In fact, Shaka Tony, he's the only player I'm going to mention, but I love that name, Shaka Tony. He's been suspended for the full year from the Commanders, all 16 games. But I think that actually that didn't sound right. I think it's 17 games they play now.
Yeah, 17 for the entire year.
But here's the thing about this. This is the reason why it's a great piece of conversation is the NHL, the NBA, all these sports teams, as you know, in the last couple of years, they've not only okayed it, they've adopted it as part of their revenue, right? That you can bet through NHL.com.
You can bet right in the stadium.
Yeah. So you can bet on all these games. So even though we all know, Ed, there's a clear line between being a player and having a rule to not gamble on the games, because the whole thing is, if I'm playing for the Dallas Cowboys and you're playing for the Jaguars, you and I are friends, though, I can say, hey, brother, just to let you know, I'm putting $10,000 on that game, right? There's a problem there.
Yeah, the conflict of interest.
But here's the issue. The second they okayed this whole thing, the second that NHL and NBA and MLB said, not only can you gamble now, and we are going to encourage you to do it, they are taking a piece of that. Is that line, that thick line, has turned into a thin line.
And players are not allowed to bet.
They're not allowed to bet on any aspect of those games. And, in fact, they're not allowed to place bets, if I'm not mistaken, in any form.
Really?
No, not while they're playing, I'm pretty sure. So the thing that I'm really getting at is, as soon as they adopted that and they said you still can't do it, that those two worlds merged a great deal and they kind of collided. And in other words, they've kind of asked for this problem to a degree. Do you agree with this?
Yeah,
is there something to be said about
that? I just say stay tuned. I think there's more to come. But you're right. You cannot affect the play. I mean, I know we only got a minute left, but you cannot affect the play and it benefits you or personally or a little side deal with your buddy.
That's
Shoeless
right.
Joe Jackson, baby. All that kind of stuff.
No, it's just... My take is, though, different. You can't do that. But as soon as they allowed all this stuff, I'm like, you're going to...
Let's get Pete Rose on next week's show and ask him.
I love it. Folks, we like to conclude with a quote from a Pope. And St. John Paul II said, when sports are played and understood in the right way, they are an extraordinary expression of a person's best inner energies and of his ability to overcome the difficulties of competition. Before we go, a special thank you to Ed Billick, brother. Thank you for being on the show. Dr. Chad Carlson. Everything you do, Chris Pressler is producer of this show. I'm Dr. John Aquaviva. Please join us next time here on Carolina Catholic Radio and Radio Maria for more Faith and Sport. St. Sebastian,
pray for us.
You've been listening to Faith and Sport on Carolina Catholic Radio, Charlotte, 1270 AM. Also streaming at CarolinaCatholicMedia.org and on the Carolina Catholic Media mobile app. We've also been broadcasting across the Radio Maria broadcasting area, so we want to thank all of our Radio Maria listeners as well as our Carolina Catholic Radio listeners for tuning in to this edition of Faith and Sport Today. And we want to invite you, when you check out CarolinaCatholicMedia.org or the Carolina Catholic Media mobile app, to click on that Donate Now button to help keep great programs like Faith and Sport on Carolina Catholic Radio.